generally with the eyes, we focus in a narrow band. And in fact, the eyes are, we've been doing that for so many thousands and thousands of years that the eyes have actually changed for that. And that you probably heard of peripheral vision.
Yeah.
This is actually something that can be developed as skill. But most of the time, the training for kids, an example of that would be television. And so the television is across the room, or it may be, in fact, on your cell phone right in front of you, and you're missing everything else that's in the peripheral. The body is also like that in a way. That whatever part of the body that we focus on, all the rest of the body becomes peripheral. Unless you begin to train the mind to not focus too strongly on any one particular point, so that the focal point of either the eyes or the body allows the peripheral be much larger and take in data. An example is that I watch out of the corner of my eye, even though I'm looking at you. I see things, people coming into the yard, cars passing by, things like this. One of the funny is that because we keep the doors open because of the atmosphere, we will have occasionally birds fly into the room. And there have been times when all three of us were in the bedroom and a bird would fly from the front porch into the front room and then into the bedroom, circle around, see no way out, and then fly back out. And I was the only one that saw the bird because everybody else was focused and didn't see it. And I think that that's happened three times in the past 5 or 6 years. Mm. All right. So what we're getting at is that we are trained in our society to not pay attention to the body. And to not pay attention to what is in our peripheral vision. And yet it can be done what you would call subconsciously. An example of that is in a city, if someone is walking down the street and an intending robber comes up behind them, they won't know it, but the hair on the back of their neck will stand up. This is one of the signals that robbers will use, is that they're not going to bother somebody who reacts to them as they approach. Right? This is kind of known in some circles of thievery. But the people who are going to get robbed, they don't even recognize that the hair that's standing up on the back of their neck is kind of a warning. Hmm. And you can see that with dogs, too. They really have the hair on the back stand up. Okay. And that standing up process has to do with tightening of the muscles, getting ready for danger. And yet a lot of the behaviors that we have with the body are done subconsciously. We're not paying any attention. Just like things can happen. And they happen out of the corner of our eye, and we don't know it. That this is actually part of the training that I received from Achan Po, that he would do things like, if I was standing in a group watching a ceremony or something like that, he would intentionally come up quietly behind me and whisper in my ear. Until I began to really wake up, and then he couldn't do that anymore. His job was done because he couldn't sneak up on me. He also would stand in the yard of my cootie I would be inside the cootie and he'd stand outside waiting for me without making a sound, just to see how long it took me to come to my senses, basically. Okay. I can't train that with the students on the internet. But we can let you know that you can begin to train yourself, because you're beginning to pay attention, to start paying attention to the body. Now, in the Mahasi method, they call it, they have a little phrase, rising, falling, touching, and sitting. Have you heard that phrase before? Rising, falling, touching, sitting?
No, but I've heard of like noting, which...
Okay, this is not, this is...
Oh, it's not. Okay.
This actually is the noting of the body. This is most specifically body, where the noting is almost always thought of as mental noting, noting what's in the mind. But you can actually apply it to the mind. The rising is on the in-breath, and the falling is on the out-breath. And then the sitting, the touching is obvious. Rising, falling, touching, sitting. You know about the cloth, you know about the air, you know about that. But the sitting actually refers to what we call proprioceptic sensing system that you are using on a regular basis subconsciously, but you're not aware of it consciously. Shall I demonstrate that for you?
Yes, please.
All right. Close your eyes. And now raise your right hand above your head. Okay, I can't see the hand from here, but that's all right, because it doesn't matter that I see it. Okay, so you opened your eyes, so close them again. Now, do you know where the hand, do you know where the hand is? Do you know that you just drooped your arm?
Yeah.
What position is the hand in? Is it curled, or is the fingers pointing up?
The fingers are pointing up.
Okay, how do you know that?
I don't know. I just know.
Okay, that's called the proprioceptic sensing system. Okay, you can bring the hand. Wait a minute, before you bring it down, put it back up. Oh. Okay, now look at it. Look at your hand. Is it where you thought it was?
Yeah, or generally.
Okay, so, so your eyes are verifying that your proprioceptic sensing system...
Are you all right?
So, well, now that I can clean that out, yes. So that the eyes are verifying that your proprioceptic system is working. However, very few people either know about it or pay attention to it. So start paying attention to your posture. For instance, right now, without looking or thinking about it, are your what are the position of your feet? Are they flat on the floor, touching the floor on the palms? Do you have them cross-legged at the ankles? What position are your feet in?
They're straight out, but my toes are on the ground, not my heels.
All right. Are your knees spread or are your knees close together?
They're spread.
Okay. So you're beginning now to pay attention to the posture you're in.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we mean by being aware of what we're doing. Especially when the body is moving, like grasping and reaching and touching and adjusting our posture and all of that kind of stuff, to learn to become aware of where the body is in relationship spatially.
Okay, that's cool. I kind of have noticed myself noticing, like, for example, like I often stand on like one foot randomly. And so I notice that sometimes. And so I force my other foot down, so I'm not like unbalanced.
Mm-hmm. That in fact, the part of the proprioceptic system is the balance. They're intricately wired. That in fact, it has to do then with our being able to balance so that we can stand up And the proprioceptive system is what puts our body in the position that it's in to be able to stand and not fall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now sports people, some sports, really pay attention to this proprioceptive system and begin to train it so that people can make spectacular shots or catch balls out of the air or even catch an arrow and things like that is because they've been training using that proprioceptive system so that they know exactly where the hands are going to be. Okay. For instance, in baseball, a catcher, or let us say more likely a first baseman who's got that glove that goes out, that he can catch a ball with that without having to have eye-hand coordination visually. That the coordination is that he can see the ball and his hand proprioceptically is placed in the right position to catch the ball. And yet you talk to your average first baseman and he don't have a clue about what we're talking about. He just does it.
Yeah.
But us people who are intentionally paying attention to the body, you can begin to pay attention to what your hands are doing. Pay attention to the positions that they're in and how they're moving.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually the word mudra. Have you ever heard of the word mudra?
Yeah.
Okay. So mudra means hand position. In fact, mu is the word, Asian word for hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And for instance, in Thailand, song mu means second hand, like a used car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the mudras, there's quite a number of them that are depicted in the literature. You've obviously seen this one. But do you know that it's got a value to it? The value is the distance between the thumb and the forefinger. Can you detect the distance between the thumb and the forefinger proprioceptively, so that you know that they're about to touch and how far they are from touching? They can actually feel each other without physically touching. An energy will build up between them.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is true with this posture, that in fact the why where everybody is doing that is an adaptation of bringing the fingers very, very close together and the hands very close together. You can feel, the hands can feel one another before they touch. There's kind of an energy, or actually a, almost as if you've got a spongy ball between the hands that you, when you press in like that, you can feel that each of them can feel each other without actually touching.
It feels like a kind of slight wind to me.
Okay. Then there's another one which places the hand out like this, way out. Okay. And this one is one that's used with spreading loving kindness because you are putting your energy out the palm of the hand. Just like we were doing it before here, we can tell that there's this energy. Now we can stretch out the hand and push that energy right out.
Oh.
Okay. This has actually got a formal name on it called laying on of the hands, a healing process, to where the touch and the holding actually is beneficial. And the dogs know this so much better than humans. Humans go around saying, don't touch me. But the dogs will jump on your lap saying, please pet me. That's why we call them pets, is because they want to be rubbed and touched and have that energy flow. Okay. Somehow or another, though, humans have gotten very selfish in the way of trying to get away from it. We don't want to be touched because the touch may, in fact, be dangerous or might be painful or whatever like that. And so becoming aware of the body in this way. Also, when you're picking stuff up, an example is that when I'm holding this up like this, like it was sitting on the table, when I come to pick it up, open your hands, become aware of what you're touching. And then when you do touch it, what's the first part of your body that touches it? Is it this finger or is it this one? And then notice that you're holding it, not in the sense, see, when people mostly hold things, they pay attention to the object itself. And now we're going to start paying attention to the touch of the object. What does it feel like to hold the object in our hand? Where are we touching it? What is the interaction between the skin and the object? Most people are not aware of that. Go ahead.
I said, do we have to like describe it in words? Like, I don't know if I could describe it exactly. Like if I'm touching my phone right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's got a whole language of its own. English is not very good they've got just a few words like touching and pressure and things like that. But in fact, there's a wide variety of sensations that we're not paying much attention to.
Mm.
Okay. And as you mentioned before we started talking about this, is that we normally pay attention to just one area of the body without being able to expand that so that we can be aware of the whole body. The whole body. So as we're breathing in and as we're breathing out, we get in touch with the body as it's breathing. Now, in the Goenka method, they have a body scan, and a lot of people misunderstand it because they get into the formal movement and making sure that they don't miss any parts, and they fail to really develop the skill of the knowledge of the body.
Mm.
Okay, so one of the ways of learning this is by paying more and more and more attention to what your hands are doing.
Got it.
Let them be a, actually, the hands are so sensitive that there are as much nerve cells in the hands as there are in the eyes. And yet we're humans, especially in Western culture, are very, very visually oriented and not very tactically oriented, tactile. All right. So we can develop that tactile sensation. An example would be that a car mechanic is working on the engine of the car, and he's got to put a bolt in, but there's no way that he can see that bolt. He has to feel his way by being able to feel the where he's going to put the bolt and what the bolt feels like in his hand, and being able to turn the bolt to get it to fit into the place. The same thing is true with working under the dash of the car. You can't get your head under the dash of the car, and so good mechanics can see with their hands because they've trained that way.
Got it.
Okay. And yet most people are not able to do that. They're not able to feel with their hands as if the hands themselves were the eyes. And so beginning to use these mudras will help develop the hands. Now, in the sutta number 10, it talks about this in the sense of grasping, reaching, touching, all of that kind of stuff, to start paying attention to what the hands are doing. For instance, right now, Lucky is sitting here. She's gotten the habit. I mean, she's really smart in a way. She's an average dog, really dumb and all of that kind of stuff, the way dogs are. but she has it that when I put the headphones on and I'm talking, when I'm sitting at the computer, she always comes to close by because my hands are free when I'm talking. If I'm actually typing or doing something on the computer, then my hands are used on the computer. But when I'm talking to you, I don't have much to do with my hands, and so Lucky has come here so that I will touch her, pet her, scratch her. And another thing that I'm doing is that I'm using my hands as eyes to look for ticks and removing the ticks, and doing that while I can talk to you. And so I'm using my hands as well as my eyes and my mind all interchangeably.
Got it.
Then in fact, I just got a tick. Here's one right here.
Oh. It's a big.
Yeah, there it is. It's in that hair group. So, this is something that we can begin to develop so that we are, let us say, expanding our awareness, that we're including everything. This is what is referred to actually as samadhi, is when we are all encompassed. We're bringing everything in, as opposed to concentration, which is basically narrowing our focus and bringing it down to a tight point. That if we're going to use the word concentration, what we need to do with that is to talk about it in the sense of repetition, repetitive, doing it over and over and over and over again. That would be what we would use with the word concentration, rather than the other use of the word concentration, which would be focusing or narrowing down, or let us say removing some sensory input so that we make one kind of sensory input far more important than another. But the real basic anapanasati of getting to know the body means that you really do begin to know the body. You know your hands, you know your feet, you know where things are, you know how you're moving around, you're aware of how the body fits into the environment. That the, in fact, the boundaries between who you think you are with the body and your environment, that boundary is much looser than you would imagine. Like the girl, the teenage girl, don't touch me. She's got a very definite boundary of who she thinks she is based upon where the skin is. As opposed to a mystic, which is expanding his awareness and bringing it out. So I thought that I would make that mention too about the body. To let the body's knowledge of the environment expand so that you know the touch, you know the proprioceptic. That proprioceptic actually will make eyes out of your hands. And so you're aware of all kinds of things. One of the ways that you could think of it is that it's really hard to sneak up on someone who is alert and awake and aware. If somebody is focused, let us say, an example, because I see this often, is washing dishes. That it's happened. In fact, it happened in a kind of a detrimental way. I was at Watsuan Mok at the International Meditation Center there, and some Thai woman was washing the dishes, and she got really spooked out and freaked out when she recognized that I was in the room standing right beside her, because she was not aware of what happened. I mean, someone who had been work alert, aware, would have known that I was in the room when I was on the other side of the room just coming in. But most people are so focused, they're so concentrated on the washing of the dishes, that you can walk right up beside them. You can even put your face right next to their head, so that when they turn their head, there you are, right? Now, that also has to do with moving easy, moving quietly. All right, that comes out of walking meditation. That when people are doing walking meditation, they wind up walking softly. They don't make a lot of noise. And so this gives rise to the magical belief within Buddhism that some monks can fly. They floated into the room because they just walk in naturally, quietly, and when someone is not paying attention, they can get abruptly surprised. They'll jump almost right out of their skin, you so like that. Where did you come from? Well, how far back in the past do you want to know? I came from the other side of the room. You just walked over here and you weren't paying attention. All right. But you, now that you know this, you can wash dishes and people cannot come into the room and come right up to you without you knowing it. So you're going to start paying attention. This is actually the training that Achan Po gave me. Was he would walk right up to me and I started to pay attention when he was there.
So like
now I know somebody's in the yard before Lucky does. That Lucky likes to bark at strangers. I mean, she's a guard dog.
Wow.
But I'm a better guard dog than she is. I'll know something's happening before she does. Unless I'm concentrating. I can get lost in the computer, and then when she jumps, then I'll recognize that she was faster than I was. But generally, that's not the case. Generally, I'm more alert than she is, and it's her job in her
mind.
It's
like a competition.
No, it's not. It's not really a competition. It's a happy competition, and she probably doesn't even know that I'm aware of this. She's just out doing her job. But I'm out doing mine. And what is my job is to be aware, to be alert, to be awake, to know when things are going on.
So like when I'm just going about my day, just be aware of my body and how it's reacting with the environment is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And we can train for that. This is the Anapanasati training. That we train not just the mind, but when we're training with the breathing, we're training the mind also. To breathe in long, to breathe out long requires a mental training. When we investigate or examine the body, in fact, we do that at the time when we are breathing in long. We know, how do you know you're breathing in long? Do you stand in front of a mirror and watch your breathing?
No, you can just sense it.
No, you feel it.
Feel it, yeah.
You feel it both with the touch and also the proprioceptic, that you can feel when the bones are moving out. You can feel when your shoulders rise. You can feel when the diaphragm lowers. You can feel all of this. So begin to pay attention to your breathing. Not necessarily just the air, but the body and what the body is doing with the air. Just like I mentioned about the touch of the item, that we're no longer paying attention to the item that we're holding. We're paying attention to the holding of the item, paying attention to the body.
Okay.
And this is a training that you can, in fact, progress through. It's a soft, easy training. It's not hard like martial arts, but it's an easy training. You don't have to move much, but you do remember to look at what you're doing. For instance, right now, you're not paying attention to your hands. What are your hands doing right now?
One of them is scratching my leg, and the other one's just laying on my lap.
All right. There you go. I congratulate you for not looking down. A lot of people would look down to see what their hands are doing rather than letting the hands themselves know what they're doing. So we're spending today a whole lot of time on that first part of the Satipatthana called the Kaya Nupassana, to know the body. Now, the whole point of knowing the body and having this knowledge of the body is so that you can relax the body and have the body relaxed. So you've already been talking about the tension, and you've been watching the tension kind of, let's say, dissipate or melt away. That's good. But watch also parts of the body that would be tense that you're not even aware of, so that you can relax that. Like, for instance, how's your neck right now?
It's a little tense. It's a little tense.
It's okay. It's just there.
Yeah.
But you don't pay attention to your neck very often. This is part of the reason why the scanning that Goenka has some value, is to visit the various parts of the body. But you don't have to do it in any particular order. That in fact, some parts of the body are far more important than the other parts of the body. For instance, the sitting, when you're sitting, what does your buttocks feel like on the chair? How about the lower part of the, or the upper part of the leg between the waist and the knees that are sitting on the chair? Do you notice the difference between the part of the leg is sitting on the chair at the chair's edge, and then the next little part of the body where the leg is hanging off and not touching the chair? These are all kinds of little things that you can begin to notice, and you can begin to nourish the body, touch it with your hands, get a feeling of sensation. Then, in fact, this is what this is, and these things is sensation that is very pleasant. The touching of the body is really, really pleasant. This is a great deal part of what sexuality is people want to get the pleasure of the body, but they think that they can only do it at certain times and certain places, rather than you can actually experience the hands anytime. You can feel how nice it is that they feel, to touch, to experience. There's another mudra that's called Touch the Earth. And imagine that the monk is sitting with his hand down like this over his knee. And that we can use this one finger here to touch the ground, to touch the floor.
Sorry,
this is a ground. This one, the middle finger, the longest one. Okay, the one that would be, if you were putting your hand like that, what would be the first finger that would touch? Okay, so when you're draping it over like that, then where is the floor? Can you touch the floor with that finger? This is used for grounding, because a lot of the times the monks will get into a position of feeling like that they're floating, or that they're 60 feet tall, and putting that touch the earth will ground us back into reality of what the body actually is, rather than having these fanciful feelings. So this is why the mudras are so well known, is because they have the quality of practice. You would call it meditation poses or meditation postures, of knowing what the fingers are doing. Because you gain great pleasure out of the body when you're paying attention to the body. So this is Kaya Nupassana, paying attention to what the body is doing, paying attention to how the feet feel, paying attention to whether they're swollen a little bit or whether they're small in the sense of not having a lot of fluid. And all of this is by sensational touch, not by looking at it with the eyes. Mm. You feel, you look at it from the inside, I guess is the way of saying it. And so practice well. Practice getting in touch with your body.
Okay, well. I had a question. You like mentioned like specific mudras are, there's like energy that goes between your hands or like you give to other people. Like, where is that energy coming from?
Well, you're alive. You're full of energy. You've been eating food. You've been eating sugar. You've got energy. All right. And that energy can manifest itself and that you can feel it. Like I said before, we don't have good language for it. English is a very cerebral language. It's not a very touchy-feely kind of language. But we can investigate and develop the skills of touchy-feely. Begin to get in touch with what the body is doing. Some people do it naturally. Some people do it because of circumstances, but most people don't. They never really get in touch with their body. They live in it, but it's like living in an apartment you know nothing about.
Okay, so this, that makes sense. Sorry, all right. Go ahead. I'll work on, or I'll pay attention to my body and react with the environment. And then like during my regular sits, just also be aware of the body or the entire mm-hmm. body when I'm taking breaths or long breaths. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Now, one of the points, one of the really valuable points about this is that because you're beginning to gain pleasure from the body, it's no longer just a major source of fear. Then, in fact, fear, tension, anxiety, frustration, and all of that is in the body. And when we're frustrated, we don't want to feel the body because it doesn't feel good.
Right.
But when we are paying attention to the body, that frustration will melt away. And now the body is a source of joy and pleasure rather than a source of irritation. This is why I'm talking to you about this so much, because you've been talking about the tension and anxiety that you felt in the body. So now you can start to play with that stuff. It becomes mm-hmm. pleasant rather than fearful.
Yeah, I've definitely started to experience some of the pleasantness the body has to offer.
Very good. Very good. All right, well, why don't we finish now and you go play with your body?
All right, I'll do that.
Dirty, doesn't it?
No, I like that. It's a fun phrase.
All right. Well, we'll see you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.